This podcast is brought to you by Pearson, the company behind the Self, Goldman Fristo, and the brand new PPVT5 and the EVT3. These new, easy-to-use vocabulary assessments are brief and reliable for 2 years, 6 months old to those 90 and beyond. Learn more about these tests at pearsonclinical.com/exceptional. That's pearsonclinical.com/XCEPTIONAL.
Please listen carefully.
What is communication?
The act of taking a thought from my head and putting it into your head.
Essential behavior of life. We have the both blessing and responsibility of trying to foster
it. It's the strongest way for two people to convey information to each other.
Bridging what I have in my head to the outside world.
Draws us out of ourselves, draws us into that relationship, you know, builds up our families. Without it, we'd be lost.
I think it's the ability to share your innermost feelings and thoughts with others.
Whatever it is that we do to express intent and achieve an impact.
Communication is the ability to express your needs, wants, frustrations, and desires to anyone that you feel needs to have that information.
Welcome back. It is episode 60 of the Speech Science Podcast. I'm Matt Hott. Excited because we're finally back together. It's been a month. We've had a best of. We've had a holiday special. I don't know what else we had in December, but I put it on air. Michelle Wintering, Michael McLeod, welcome back. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas Kwanzaa if you're an old Orange County fan. I'm so happy to be back with you guys.
Happy New Year, Matt. Good to be back.
Happy New Year. How's it going?
It is good. And is your Christmas tree still up?
It certainly is.
I think you can see mine right behind me. So yes, my Christmas tree is up.
Yes.
That's a good looking tree.
Thank you.
With the Kermit topper, I appreciate it.
Yes, the Kermit tree topper.
So
I like it.
So have you guys heard? Okay, so when have you guys heard that it's bad luck to take your Christmas tree down?
I've never heard that. I've never heard that it was ever bad luck.
Yeah, I didn't know it was bad luck.
Okay, so I've heard that it's bad luck if you take it down before New Year's. I've heard it's bad luck if you take it down before the Epiphany, which was last week, I believe, if I paid attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've also heard that it's bad luck if you take it down more than 8 days or before 8 days after New Year's. I say that because I was at work and someone told me that you'll have three people die if you don't take your Christmas tree down before New Year's.
What?
She said that it's three.
Who made this up?
I'll say her name. Her name is Jessica. She works with me in home health. And she said that she was told growing up that if you take your Christmas tree down before New Year's, three people that are close to you, friends or family, will kick the bucket in that new year.
Ooh, I like your use of an idiom there, Matt. Good job.
Well, Jessica can take her little rules and keep them to herself.
Yeah, and also, how does the Christmas tree tie with the Epiphany anyway? Because the Christmas tree is pretty secular.
So. You know what? I don't know, man. I don't make the rules up here. And she also told me you're not supposed to do like laundry from like noon on New Year's Eve till January 2nd.
She has some very interesting rules.
Because you don't want to like, I guess, bring the dirty laundry from the previous year into the new year, but then wouldn't the dirty laundry still be there?
And then you're just waiting. It's even more dirty now.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
I don't know, man. That's why I was asking. I don't know.
Jessica, I need you to come explain yourself.
Yeah.
I'll reach out to Jess and be like,
she needs to have, an epiphany or two.
Come on to my podcast. I'm sure that's a good way to get my coworkers to buy into that. I'm a competent speech and language pathologist. Oh, who's back to work?
Been back, bro.
Have you really? When'd you
go back?
Yeah,
of course. Last week, the day after New Year's, I think. And I worked a few days before New Year's Eve, here and there, whenever people were available or requested a session.
And Michelle,
I think both of you were working a bit over the holidays, right, Matt? Home health for you,
yep.
Too?
I had Sunday off, and then Monday I thought I would be off on Christmas Eve and instead went to three Christmas Eve parties. And then Tuesday, like an idiot, I thought I would enjoy all day Tuesday off and instead went to three different Christmas parties on Tuesday.
You are just holiday party.
And then had home care patients on Wednesday.
Okay. Way to go, Matt. No, I'm not back to work yet, but you guys know that. But I'm working on the steps for my Kentucky licensure here, which is taking a little more than I thought.
How's that going, by the way? What do you have to do for that?
Well, each state's different, as we've discussed about that whole compact option. I really hope that anyone from ASHA is listening. Please help push that through.
Mike Sciatos, get on.
That would be awesome. Of course, I'll probably end up moving to a state that doesn't include it somehow. But the one thing that's a bit of a challenge right now, I just need to do it, is getting this state I'm in now, Kentucky, requires transcripts from undergrad and grad school. And because I did leveling classes, I have to get them from multiple universities. And then also you have to have a statement of good standing from any state you've held a license before, which I'm up to. This will be my fourth state with a license, so I need to get three of those.
Kentucky requires that you take your tree down, but you don't do your laundry.
Oh, okay.
And stand on one foot,
pat your head, rub your stomach, spin around.
There you go.
That sounds like a nightmare, moving from state to state.
This is why I am a living testament to why the compact would be very helpful.
Yes. And it ends up being a good amount of money. Like, you have to contact all the different licensure boards, and they have to send a very specific letter to the place you're applying to. I did that for Maryland. I'm licensed in Maryland as well. And it took a good amount of, I had to go get like a very specific photo taken at a very specific place. Was almost
like a passport type
photo.
Yeah,
like a passport photo, and then all the clearances. It's a process.
Yep. So anyways, for people who move for family, for military, or live in border states, I'm going to say it again, that compact would be really helpful.
Get on it, Asha.
Yep. So anyways, there you go. That's my update. I also have a six-month-old.
Yay, baby speech science. Is he in reduplicated babbling yet, or is it variegated?
He is making lots of sounds. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah, and just super interactive now. It's fun to kind of see on a day-to-day basis all those changes. I love that everything is new for babies.
Yeah.
Everything is brand new.
So. And now that we're a podcast family, I've seen pictures of him on your Facebook, and he is absolutely adorable.
Why, thank you.
He's a cutie.
Yeah, he got more shots today. I feel like I tell you guys that every so often, but early in life, they're getting lots of vaccinations, and poor little guy's a little rough today from that.
So obviously you are not an anti-vaxxer. Congratulations on vaccines cause adulthood.
Is that what you said?
Mike, can you compete with cute babies getting shots?
I don't think anyone can. I think that's a unanimous victory right there.
Aw, well, I'm excited to be back with you guys, and we are excited to be back on the air because we want to hear from you. So go over to our website, podcast.speechscience.org, and give us a phone call, 614-681-1798, or email us speechscience2018@gmail.com. You can be like John Deku, and send us a lovely note. And John, if I mispronounced your name, you didn't write it in phonetics. I don't know how to say it.
You have to write it in IPA. Is that what you're saying?
I do. And hey, if anyone is watching this on Monday or watching this, we are recording this on January 7th. The Bachelor's on, and a speech language pathologist is on the show.
Oh,
did you see the little like paragraph that she said about becoming a speech therapist?
No, but I saw what the comedian wrote about it.
What was that?
The comedian wrote was like, oh, this looks like a job where you would expect a scientist, but instead it's someone speaking to kids for 2 hours.
I don't know if a comedian wrote it or she wrote it. But
no,
it was
that wasn't her. That was the guy or the comedian person talking in the article about who each of the people were.
I saw something where it was like every hot girl had a friend with a lisp or something.
Oh, that might have been her then.
I saw some sort of paragraph. I think it was written by her as like an intro.
Oh no.
How she became a speech therapist. And it was bad. It was pretty bad.
Ouch.
It was as the teenagers say, it was cringe.
I get a kick out of, if you ever see the compilations of for the bachelors and the bachelorettes, when they kind of soften their title of what their job is, like give them some much more elaborate name, like you're trying to buffer your resume.
All right, this is Casey, the speech path out of Huntington Beach, California. She grew up on a beach and is an avid surfer. She's completing her degree in speech pathology and hopes to open up a private practice to work with kids. Maybe in the meantime, she can teach Colton the language of love. One pack, she owns two cats named Maverick and Goose. Oh, Goose is going to die, lady. Skydiving is the most outrageous thing she's done. And the one thing she wouldn't do for love is turn her back on her family. That's Cassie, 23 years old, out of Huntington Beach, California.
So she's in her master's program right now, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Hey, can we bring her on the show? Let's talk to Cassie. Yeah.
Coming up on this episode, what does Emily Blunt and speech and language pathology have in common? We'll let you know. Also, the art and children with autism, and why are state programs failing our students with special needs? You're listening to Speech Science.
Do you have an idea for a product or book? Or are you ready to go beyond in-service presentations? Well, how do you get started? And what if you don't have any business experience at all? Well, I have some great news for you. I'm Mei-Ling Chan, and I'm getting the nitty-gritty stories from parents, teachers, therapists, advocates, and people with disabilities who have created successful businesses, and they're sharing their intimate stories with you. Listen to us on the Exceptional Leaders Podcast and fast-track creating and building and sharing your idea with the world so that you can help more people.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Matt Hodge, joined by Michelle Wintering.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Michelle.
Oh, you said hi back. That doesn't always happen.
And Michael McLeod.
What's up, buddy?
I was going to say future bachelorette contestant, but you're married, so I can't say that.
That's correct.
That's right.
But it would have been awesome.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I was looking at closing out my fantasy football app that my family, my extended family does, and it popped up of, do you want to join a fantasy league for The Bachelor? Apparently, ABC has a Bachelor fantasy league. I did not know this.
That sounds ridiculous.
It does, but hilarious at the same time.
Where is your therapy room located? Michael, you have a private practice, right?
I do, yeah.
You do. And Michelle, have you ever had to work in a school building?
Yep, I have.
Where was your office in the school building?
I had an actual office.
So the reason I ask, and I've got on my computer here before we start anything, it dings me whenever there's a new story with speech therapy located in the title or something.
Okay.
And this just came across my breaking news. I wish we had like one of those Inside Edition breaking news.
Dun, dun, dun.
Teacher accidentally crashes car into Greenboro School. Asbestos repair work underway. The incident happened before school opened on December 21st, and they were located in the C wing where speech therapy room was located.
Of course, we're always tucked in some random wing somewhere.
Speech therapy is
the former utility closet that's now been used as a speech therapy office.
Speech therapy room has been destroyed. Due to car, speech therapy canceled this week. Will not be seeing your children.
There were super duper cards everywhere.
So was there? I'm hoping no one was in the speech therapy room when this happened.
No, it sounds like the teacher was excited to leave the building and hit the accelerator instead of the brake, driving into the school. No one was injured. It was discovered.
This was before brake.
Yeah.
Oh.
That is insane.
And now because there is asbestos all up in the room, it's going to cost a ton of money. But they are expected to return with no interruption on January 2nd. So this was written on January 7th. So I like that the article was already 5 days old and it dinged it as breaking news.
Where did this happen?
This is in Westchester County. Watch it. Rockland, Westchester, somewhere.
New York?
Sure. I was just up in Westchester, New York.
Did you drive into a building up there?
No, I did not.
You drive into the C Wing?
Poor speech therapy office.
There's like a Lego man. And a half-broken potato head. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Papa Pirate.
Humpty Dumpty, man.
Getting the caribou off of Goodwill. All right. But you know what, though? Seriously, like, that is your speech therapy room. We do want to talk to you, and we will help you. And if you need if you need therapy materials, we've done it before with the hurricane in New Orleans. We will help you out as well. So if you know the lady or the guy, I'm assuming it's a lady, who had her speech therapy room driven into, we'd like to help. I can't not laugh. Say that. I'm so sorry.
We can't get rid of the. We can't get rid of the asbestos.
You're making me laugh, Matt. I can't.
Yeah, we can't get rid of asbestos, but we can help get you new therapy materials.
We'll give you toys that you can put in the asbestos.
Well, thinking of things that have failed, kind of like asbestos as a insulation for a building. In Missouri, they created in 2013 a law was created to help kids with autism and other conditions with special education. You go to private schools that were well-equipped to meet their needs. In 6 years or 5 years, how many students do you think have used this?
Probably zero.
Zero, and never got off the ground. And now they want more money to try to do it again. Not a single child applied for the scholarship, nor were any funds donated to pay for them.
So what we have here is a failure to communicate, clearly. Why? I feel like this was a program that was developed and approved and put into law and then forgotten about.
Now, do you guys have to have your parents sign a sheet recognizing that you told them about a scholarship?
I've never had to do that. Oh, maybe I have. Maybe I have. I've had them have to sign things that talk about like all the different avenues they could take to get services, like different programs they could use.
Oh, okay. What are their alternative options?
Yeah, yeah.
Placement.
Different things like that, but I don't know if it was technically a scholarship. You know what I mean?
In Ohio, we have the John Peterson Special Needs Scholarship. It provides I'm going to read right off the website. Provides scholarships to students K through 12 and have an IEP. The amount of each scholarship will be based on the primary disability identified on the ETR and will not exceed $27,000. So what we do is we have to give them a form that says this is how you apply for it, and they sign off saying, yes, we received that.
Hmm. Yep. Well, that's good because it's
forcing us to do our job.
Make sure that they're informing parents of whatever scholarship is available, because it sounds like this one was honestly forgotten and that no one secured funding for it. And grant funding is something, I mean, that's a full-time job. Nonprofits and other places hire someone whose sole responsibility is often taking care of grant funding.
I guess my question, and the reason I bring this up, and maybe I'm going to sound like the crazy person, but I'm okay with that, is why is this an option? Why do we allow funding to leave the schools instead of trying to get better therapy in the schools? We do the funding to send the students to an outside agency.
It's a quick answer to FAPE, to a free and appropriate public education. If something exists out there, then send the kid to what already exists versus does that make sense? I mean, that's my take on it, at least, is I think it's a way to get a kid to a service that already exists.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I totally agree with it. I do think we should make sure that our schools are better staffed with speech language pathologists. But
I don't know. It just feels to me kind of like, oh, we can't take care of your kids, so take them to someone who can.
Well, there's definitely two sides to the coin here. There's definitely, you know, not all schools are built for all kids. You know, the educational model that we have in this country tries to be one size fits all and will tailor to the individual, but
never can be.
Exactly. History has proven time and time again that that is absolutely impossible. That does not work. And now we're seeing that with increasing ADHD and other issues. But again, on the other side of the coin here, you're looking at, you know, is this the kind of things that happen when politicians get involved in special education? Something like this. Is this really the best appropriated use of funds? Like you were saying that.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's tough because I feel like I know working in the school, we're not really allowed to say that we cannot do something, which is interesting. We're not really allowed to say, oh, we can't serve your kid or we can't do it. Go to a private therapy, because then what we're saying is that there is a disability that might adversely affect and that we're not going to cover it in the school.
What if there really is that situation?
What do you mean?
If I'm saying for real, if there's a child or a student that you really truly cannot best serve.
Technically, the school district, the way I interpret everything, is that the school district has to hire somebody that can serve.
Okay.
Or it becomes a long, drawn-out battle, which we all know how that ends.
Right. More kids on my caseload.
There you go. and you basically have to say that, you know, here's the IEP, here's what I'm federally mandated to do, this is the therapy I'm providing, and then it's, if the parents have the resources to take it to that level, then that's right. Where it happens.
And hey, that's, speaking of, oh, sorry, Matt.
No, I'm going to say, and that's just different than me saying, okay, 17-year-old student with an R issue, it does not adversely affect your education, so we are not going to serve you in the schools, but here is a list of private practices that you could work on your R with. That's different than me saying, whoa, your kid needs AAC? I'm not doing that. Whoa, your kid's nonverbal? Sorry. Your kid bites? Not going to do that. Like, that's a little bit different than the sending them to a private practice just because it's not adversely affected.
That makes sense to me because you're tying it directly to education at that point.
Correct.
Are you saying there should be a private school for all of the RTIC kids?
Hey, man, if that's what you want to do out there in Philadelphia where kickers can't hit a field goal, I mean, go for it.
Oh,
That happened in Chicago.
Oh, was it in Chicago? Okay. Well, yeah. Either way.
I'm not an Eagles fan either. So.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
So. Mike just shrugs it off like, man, I don't really care anyway.
You tried really hard there.
I was trying to help you. But no, like, I don't know. I feel weird every time we do the scholarship or something because it feels very similar to like, we can't help your kid. Here's some money. I don't know.
I mean, back to this article, though, I do think they were, it sounded like this article was trying to even differentiate between setting aside funds for kids in rural communities and urban communities, those kids that are underserved. But it just never got off the ground. It was never utilized and never funded. Let's back up. It was never funded.
Oh, was it? I thought it was funded and no one used it.
No, they had no grant funding for it.
Oh. That's good.
I mean, it was approved by, it was introduced, the bill was introduced and passed. But the funding, let's see. My understanding was that there was no funding behind it either.
The funds would come from the contributions made in exchange for tax credits.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single child applied for the scholarship, nor were any funds donated to pay for them.
So, there you go.
Wow.
So what did they do to recruit those funds? You know, I mean, there's so many holes in this.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's just, I feel like it's another example of this is a really great idea. Look at what we did. And then now we're looking at nothing coming from it.
Exactly. Exactly. And at the brunt end of the true victim, once again, is a special needs family.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Man. All right.
Well, we want to move on. How does your state handle scholarships for students? Head over to our website, podcast.speechscience.org, and you can email us, speechscience2018@gmail.com. Give us a phone call, 614-681-1798, or we're on Twitter, @SpeechSciencePC. Speech Science Podcast, @SpeechSciencePC. I came up with that on my own, guys. Are you proud of me? I'm proud of you.
Like PC principal?
I didn't think of that. Emily Blunt, our favorite wife of the guy from The Office that everyone loves but can't remember his name.
John Krasinski.
I know. Mary Poppins. She had a stutter growing up, and she is now coming out talking about it with children and everybody. And she says, hey, basically she's saying that she's talking about it now because she wants to help change somebody to think that it's not a terrible thing to have a stutter.
Hey, I mean, this is the kind of thing I appreciate when people talk about, and she has the spotlight to do it, so it's bringing awareness to, you know, to stuttering and disfluency. I like in the article they mentioned, and what is this, from Mirror.com out Mirror, of the
yeah,
UK.
It's like a UK rag.
Yeah, that she pinpointed a specific teacher. She mentions a specific teacher who told her, I see some potential and you are great at doing impressions and voices. You should be in this class, performance or play. And she didn't want to do it. And
that was the girl from The Bachelor who inspired her.
But now I do like that she does say, one time I walked away from a teacher because I couldn't say why I needed to go to the bathroom. I wrote down that I had to go and I couldn't tell her. She felt quite.
Oh. But she specifically mentions another teacher who encouraged her to try acting, and it was talking in an accent and, you know, performing in some way that helped her with her stutter.
See, and this always makes me wonder, when we dismiss students with fluency issues at the high school level, should we keep them on? At least for the mental side or the emotional side.
If it's affecting things, I think yes.
There should definitely be at least a consultative model.
Yeah.
Where you're constantly checking in. That would be the ideal version of therapy for these kids, because you never know what's going to happen. They could, you know, when college application time comes around and they get anxious, fluency could come back. Fluency issues could come back.
Maybe utilizing the improv idea that you've talked about, Matt, with individuals with autism. I wonder if doing that role playing, that acting, using different accents and impressions could help a group of teenagers if they're stuttering or dealing with fluency issues.
And this is where I have a problem with IEPs in general. And maybe a fluency kid could be a 504 with the case manager, whoever you report to be in the SLP. But like, I have a couple speech only IEPs that are fluency only, and I've got a goal, but like the goal is not, I mean, it's as close as I can get for the student, but it's more, how do you write a goal for them to, you know, check in once a month? You can't write consult, because consult here in Ohio has to be consult with an educational staff. If it's contact with the student, it's direct. So then you need minutes. And it's like, okay, well, it's a minimum. So maybe I'll just say I'll meet with this kid for 30 minutes a month. But then you need a goal of what you're working on. So my goal will be something like, well, identify causes of disfluent moments. I mean, all of a sudden now we're looking at something that's no longer consult to discuss issues, and it's trying to come up with a goofy goal. These are kind of why I'm a little against. I don't like some of the IEPs.
In a lot of the schools I've been in, one of the biggest difficulties is just basic teacher-to-teacher communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, it wouldn't be too bad to just have a teacher know the email of the SLP and say, hey, Johnny or Susie had some fluency issues today in class. I know you discharged him 3 months ago, but there was a big issue today. You might want to check in on him. that could easily work for many students.
That the teachers at my one school, they do that with over the years that I've had some selective mute, they'll send me an email and say, hey, so-and-so's had an issue today in class. And I'm like, no, okay. Not really a speech issue, but okay.
But those are where developing that rapport and relationship with the staff and the schools you're in, especially if you're itinerant and you're jumping around to four or five different schools, is so important, but can be really hard to do because you want to have that sort of connection so they can help you with your goals and help that student.
Good point.
If you're stuck in the C-wing, it's not that easy.
Man, I know.
Especially if there's a car
coming through the wall.
I can't come pick up Johnny today. I can't come pick up Emily Blunt for our speech therapy session today. There's a car. You know what? If I had to go pick up Emily Blunt for speech therapy, I would climb over.
That's right. I would sit in the asbestos and work with her.
We want to hear from you. How do you handle students with disfluency? Head over to our website, give us a ring, podcast.speechscience.org, and you can email us speechscience2018@gmail.com or give us a phone call, 614-681-1798. Not to give anything away, but sometimes we have to take breaks and we take a short reprieve and then we come back and we edit it all together so it sounds like we've all been talking. And in the meantime, I told Michelle while we were waiting for Michael to come back on that Paul McCartney has a song about selective mutism. This has nothing to do with what we were going to talk about on air. Did you know this, Mike?
No.
So here is the clip from his song about selective mutism.
She given up talking, don't say word. Even in the classroom, not a dicky bird. Unlike other children, she seemed to never heard. She given up talking, don't say word.
So there you go. Paul McCartney has a song about selective mutism.
It's called She's Given Up Talking.
Yep.
Do you know, is there a story behind it?
There is, and I used to know it, and now if you give me... I used to know the story and I had to like, because someone did it in, we have our students give presentations on their disabilities. And one of the students couldn't find a celebrity with selective mutism, but found this song. Okay, here he goes. This is from April 30th, 2018. Or I'm sorry, November 2001 interview. She's given up talking was about someone I knew whose kid had gone to school and wouldn't talk all day that she was in school. For a year, she wouldn't talk at school, and the idea of her giving up talking seemed like a good title to me. I wrote the song a couple years ago when I was on a holiday in Jamaica. I wish I could do that. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, so there you go. So it's about his kid's friend who just stopped talking at school. Selective mutism.
Wow. All right.
Right. Well, anywho, thinking of music, music is a type of art, and out of AutismParentingMagazine.com, the wonders and benefits of art for children with autism. I love art therapy. I love art and music therapy when balanced with speech and language therapy. I feel like it's just as important as OT or PT or speech, because I have one student that I'm thinking of that when they would write, it was terrible, but when they would draw and paint, oh, it was gorgeous. Like, they gave so many other stories. And then I think of another student who I would ask what they did the weekend before and they couldn't do it. I asked them to draw it for me, and they drew a picture of themselves kneeling at a grave and found out that their grandma had passed away that weekend. And it's amazing.
I've had great experiences with art therapists and music therapists as well. I know I've mentioned to you all before about the therapy camp with the teams of therapists that I've worked in Colorado for various summers. And what I love about them is I feel like the ones I've worked with, when you get a really good art therapist and a really good music therapist, that they're able to take the goals of OT or PT or speech therapy and almost expedite them, like find ways to expedite those goals, just like you said, or to tap into something that can really help a patient.
Mike, you look like you were shaking your head before, so that's why I was waiting for you.
Yeah, I was just thinking of, like, it reminds me of that Temple Grandin book, The Girl Who Thought in Pictures.
Yes.
It's really, I work with several who high functioning, lower functioning, that either just love music and just are a totally different person when music is playing, or their artistic skills are just unbelievable. And it's when you work with a true, true art therapist or music therapist, which I've had the pleasure of doing maybe two or three times, it's amazing. I worked with an older man who was a music therapist who played guitar at a preschool and worked with the kids. It wasn't even for kids with special needs, but working with the kids and getting them to understand the rhythm and the music and to follow directions. It was almost like a speech therapy session, and he wasn't even a trained speech pathologist, but he was practicing following directions, receptive language, expressive language. It was amazing. He was an incredible music therapist. So I have a ton of respect for the people that take these routes in life to be music or art therapists.
So when you said work with a true one, maybe I've not worked with a true one, but okay. So like the ones I've worked with, they've done art and talked about things or done music and talked about those following directions. Is that what we're talking about here? Or is it something special to be a music therapist?
Well, I know that to become a licensed one, it's pretty difficult. I know they have to do a good amount of work to become licensed. I know it's not as simple as it may seem.
Yeah, it's not just
play the tambourine. That, congratulations!
Yeah,
it's not just something anyone can say. I'm a music therapist. That's actually a certificate or a license. I'm not sure. Is it state by state? I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, but when you find one who is like a lifelong therapist and they work with these special needs kids and they bring these amazing skills out of them. That's one thing all of us know as speech pathologists, is especially like some of the nonverbal kids that can't express themselves as you and I may. There's something in there. There's a skill in there. There's a passion in there. There's an incredible skill in there somewhere. And it's these therapies. And a lot of times it is the arts, whether I work with one student who's amazing at GarageBand, another student who's amazing at Photoshop, another student who just dances incredibly. There's always something. There's always something in there. There's always a skill that needs to be unearthed.
So here's what this is according to the American Music Therapy Association, musictherapy.org. Music therapy is, they must have a bachelor's degree or higher in music therapy from 72 approved colleges, hold the MTBC credential. It's evidence-based and requires knowledge in psychology, medicine, and music. Examples of therapeutic music are noteworthy, but this is not music therapy. A person with Alzheimer's listening to an iPod, groups such as bedside musicians or musicians on call, celebrities performing at hospitals, a piano player in the lobby, nurses playing background music, art educators, a high school student playing guitar in a nursing home, or a choir singing.
So it's aligned with goals and helping. Yeah. I mean, it has to be for it to truly
Whoa.
Be therapy.
Working with Congresswoman Gabby Giffords Giffords to regain her speech after surviving a bullet wound, working with adults to lessen the effects of dementia, working with children and adults to reduce asthma episodes.
The key to that is they all have a goal, right? To reduce this, to improve this.
Well, Gabby Giffords also did melodic intonation therapy with licensed SLPs.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see how that would work together.
I'm sure she was doing various therapies.
Yeah, and that's what Matt was saying. Those are examples of actual therapy.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I'm sure she worked with various therapists in various contexts.
She had a whole team. I know that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. EBI.
Yep. But yeah, it looks like the certification board for music therapists since 1986 has been accredited by the National Commission for Certifying Agencies for program.
Huh. I guess I should give more credit to our friends in art and music therapy.
Yeah, they rock it. Pretty cool.
And especially being so terrible in music and art, I have a vast respect for these people.
Hey, I can draw a mean looking stick man.
I can't. There you go. I really honestly can't.
Aw. Well, we want to hear from you. What are your expectations or experiences with music and art therapy? Head over to our website, podcast.speechscience.org, and give us a phone call, 614-681-1798. Or if you're a texter, not a talker, you can email us, speechscience2018@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, #SpeechScience, or @SpeechScienceJC. I know we're on Instagram, but I just don't know the Instagram. How terrible was that? I think it's just Speech Science, right?
I mean, this is, I told you I would look into this more, and I need to get the password.
I gave that to you.
Right? Maybe it's probably in there. We gotta update this and make it. I'll do it. Let's do it. Here we go.
Was it Speech Science JC or PC?
JC. J or PC. PC as in podcast.
There we go. You said JC.
Yeah, I know. And we just got attached to a hashtag for the Step Lab for Step Lab at Step Lab on Twitter. Thanks for hashtag. I can't say it. Sensorimotor? Why can't I say that word?
Sensorimotor.
Speech therapy, help me say this word. It's SENSORIMOTOR.
Sensorimotor?
Yeah, sensorimotor.
Why does it not look like sensorimotor?
It changed the Y to an I.
Is that the first time you're seeing that?
10:30 at night. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Speech Science.
Hey, everyone. You know, let's all stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. That felt good, huh? Just like that, we had a nice special sort of moment together. Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They could be loud moments, goofy moments, sporty moments, dorky moments. Moments where we talk or walk or just hang out. It doesn't really matter. They all count. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. Sounds like somebody agrees. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Today, call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Speech Science, where Michael and Michelle are mean to me, the lowly, lowly.
Don't pity party over here, man.
Come on, man. Party.
I need it. All right. I've got a fun story to end on. This is coming out of the El Paso Times. An Eagle Scout candidate creates
El Paso
for Gigi's Playhouse.
Hey, shout out to where my previous hometown for a couple of years.
Really?
You still have no idea where I lived.
Anyway, this is called Hugs
you know each
and
other?
Mugs. Listen, it's Hugs and Mugs. It's created by Eagle Scout candidate Mark Panchico, a senior at Clinton High School. He created the coffee kiosk as his Eagle Scout project to give adults with Down syndrome a chance to learn a job and hopefully lead to employment. So they hire adults with Down syndrome to be the waiters and the whatever you call a coffee maker. Barista?
Baristas, yeah.
Barista.
It's called Hugs and Mugs. So I love it.
Shout out to him. That's fantastic.
That is awesome.
And I hope your Eagle Scout board says that it helped enough people, because that is a cool, cool thing.
That's something that can be very long-standing, hopefully.
And that's the whole point of the Eagle Scout project, is that it's something that is not necessarily permanent, but is a improvement that can last in the community. So
I like it.
So there
what
you
was your project, Matt?
I worked with the local fire department, and we gave out or installed about 100 smoke detectors in a neighborhood.
Very cool.
We had the ladder truck coming down the street and doing the sirens and looking all cool and stuff. And our fire department only was able to put in 4 or 5 before they had to run and go do like an actual run, you know, instead of working with us. They had to actually go take care of and save somebody's life. But then we went back and had a party at the firehouse. So that was my Christmas album.
That sounds great.
How old were you for that?
I was 7. It was the summer. I was 17 years old. It was the summer before I turned 18.
That is very cool.
So I got my Eagle Scout officially like the week before I turned 18, but I did the project in the summertime. So
I respect that.
So thanks. Yeah. Shout out to the Green Township Fire Department. If you're listening to the Speed Science Podcast for some reason,
I'm sure they are.
I still appreciate you guys.
You should tag them in the post for this one.
I'll tag Mike Shear, the whatever he was, the captain, whatever you call that. Whoever's in charge of a fire department.
Of a fire department?
Like the building. The building.
Oh, the firehouse?
Yeah, the house.
That would be the captain.
Okay, so yeah, Captain Shear. I don't even know if he's still there. So, all right, guys, what do we got coming up for next week? Wow, nobody's so doing excited. Any work. Awesome. Cool. Well, I'll start. Over the next week, I am continuously building my birthday and Christmas gift from 2019 that I have over my right shoulder that I'm pointing out to you guys.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Thanks. My birthday's not till November, but, you know, whatever. Got it early.
Your 2019 present you got early? I thought we were talking about your 2018 birthday.
Nope, 2019 found it and convinced my wife to let me spend $300 on 15 action figures that build the set top of the roof from the Ghostbusters movie.
So she said happy birthday early.
Merry Christmas and happy birthday.
You took them out of the case.
Oh, yeah, dude, I build.
That's not like Steve Carell in that one movie.
No, I'm not the 40-year-old virgin, Steve.
Oh, okay.
Put my stuff on display.
You're going to use them if you're going to have them.
So yes, I am not divorced, and my wife let me build a giant toy. But it is also my Christmas gift that she said she'll put a bow on at this next.
Is it your 2019 Christmas gift, too?
It is.
Very cool.
Your wife loves you.
She does. But
shout out to Kim.
Shout out to Kim, my baby mama and wife. But no, so speech therapy wise coming up, I just got normal therapy stuff and speech science, trying to lock down a pretty cool interview that I do not want to say on air because I do not want to jinx it. What do you guys got coming up? Michelle, who are we airing next week? I know you did an interview.
We have a feeding specialist, author, and I mean, she has a website. We've got a whole interview with Melanie. I'm going to say her last name wrong and I'm going to feel really bad. Potok. So I'll make sure I get it right.
You sit down with her?
I did. And I'm trying to, but it was a month ago now. I'm trying to remember my notes. I needed an IPA. I'm sorry, Melanie. Or Mel. She goes by Mel.
That's awesome. So is it like infant feeding or adult feeding?
She does children, pediatrics.
Very cool. Very cool. Yep. Michael, what are you doing next week? What do you got for us on speech science or in general?
Well, first of all, in general, I do want to give a shout out to Gwen Harper, who shouted us out on Facebook. She said that speech science is one of her favorite podcasts.
Way to go, Gwen.
It's also my favorite.
Gwen.
Yep. In terms of speech, I'm getting a nice variety of clients now. I had a consult today with a group of students, just like before, how you didn't want to jinx it. I also don't want to jinx it as well. I want to be able to kind of learn as much as I can and work with these students and, try some different avenues. I think it's a pretty big fact by now that, within the field of speech pathology, the best thing about this career is just the absolute variety of people that we can work with. And that's really something that I'm sensing now that I've been in the field for a couple of years, and I'm really excited to work with a nice variety of cases and diagnoses, life experiences. So that's what I'm looking forward to right now.
Can't get bored in our field, and if you do, it's your fault.
That's right.
Cool, well, I'm excited. We will be back next week. That is episode 61. We are 61 episodes in next week. I cannot believe that, guys.
That's wild.
This is cool. This started off as just a fun little, wouldn't it be interesting? And it's grown into this, and I'm glad to have you guys with us, with me on this, so I'm excited.
Happy to be here with you, Matt.
Woo! And in April, I think it's 1 year with you guys. Is that what we decided? Was it April?
I think so. March or April, somewhere in there.
That's crazy. I didn't even think of that. That's wild.
We will have birthday cake on air.
A whole year.
I want to hear more from our community, though.
Yes.
Like, Gwen Harper shouted us out. There's other people out there, other SLPs listening to us in their car on the way to their favorite home care cave.
I know. I hear enough of Mike and Matt. I need to hear from some of you all.
whip your phone out and leave us a little message.
And also a big shout out to Rachel Madel, the Talking with Tech guru. She's got us listed as one of the top 15 great speech therapy podcasts on her slphappyhour.com blog. That is
thanks, Rachel.
I love Rachel. That is on the Speech Pathologist at Large group. So we are up there as well. So make sure you head over to iTunes, rate us 5 stars. That helps. Or if it's 1 star, I guess as long as you explain why you gave us 1 star, we'll accept it. We'll take the constructive criticism.
As long as you explain yourself.
As long as you explain yourself. We want to know why. Cool. I was double checking to make sure my top 15, we were in there.
There's a lot of SLP podcasts out there. It's pretty surprising.
Right? SLP Happy Hour, Swallow Your Pride, SLP Trivia Fun. That's with Eric Raj. I love that one. Free promotion for Eric. All right. Our opening music tonight is Please Listen Carefully by Jazar. It's licensed under an attribution and share alike license. Our bump music is The Spellbreaker by Tritachyon. It's licensed under an attribution license. And our closing music, which you hear right now, is The Slow Burn by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under a Creative Commons attribution license. In the immortal words of Janice Wright, be a willow because the oak will crack under pressure. For Michelle Wintering and Michael MacLeod, I'm Matt, still married with toys on my shelf, hot. Till next week. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye, Matt.
I thought you were going to say the immortal Hulk Hogan.
I'm still married.
You're listening to the Exceptional Podcast Network.